All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea, you want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or one transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is episode 58, and a lot going on, a lot in the news to talk about, so let's get right to it. Tragically, another mass shooting. Aaron Alexis shot 12 people at the Washington, D.C. Naval Yard, and then he himself was shot. And, you know, the tragedy is that once again, innocent people went to work and will never come home. And that's the reality of it, and that's a tragedy. And these are people, you know, with families and with lives and who did nothing but show up in their ordinary day. And we'll never know why he did it. We'll never know why he shot these people, why he snapped. There'll be all kind of talk, and but the reality is, and this is tragic, and I do not discount the sadness of the families of the people lost. But let's be honest, same old, business as usual. Another mass shooting, and we all know what's going to happen. There's going to be talk. Congress will talk about, you know, gun laws and background checks and so on. And the NRA will say that has nothing to do with it. And in the end, nothing will be done. And it's very interesting. I read a few different articles about this, but it was interesting to read basically two writers who went to the same place but different points of view. One, a guy named Adam Winkler, and Adam said that this is just America's new normal, and I fully agree with that. Let's stop pretending that we're shocked or that we care about these mass killings, whether they take place at schools or in the workplace or, you know, even, I mean, you know who hasn't done it in a while? The post office. Man, I'm a comic. Those postal shootings used to be good for material, but nothing. But the reality is it happens over and over, and nothing's going to be done simply because the NRA is organized. The NRA has single-issue voters. Whenever some congressman or whoever speaks up about gun laws, that there should be background checks, that maybe mentally disturbed people or criminals should not be able to buy a gun, the NRA will vote against it. And believe me, NRA people will vote on a single issue. This is why they get destroyed, why these laws will never pass, because they'll vote on one issue. And although supposedly 90% of Americans are in favor of background checks, 90% of Americans don't vote on that issue alone. So the NRA is always going to win, and it's business as usual. And I agree with what Adam Winkler said about that. Now, the other argument from a gentleman named Nick Gillespie, now it starts out, I agree with his argument, because he says there shouldn't just be a knee-jerk reaction to make laws. In other words, whenever we being the United States Congress, legislature, whatever you, however you want to put it, whenever a law is made as a reaction to something that is an outrage, the law is a bad law. We went through this with the drug laws, right? Remember the crack epidemic? So they passed a bunch of laws that said you'll go to jail 10 times as long for crack as you will for powder cocaine. And all those laws did was make it easy to put a bunch of black people in jail for a really long time. And that's being shown now. And we had the same thing after 9/11, you know, the so-called Patriot Act, where we basically decimated the Constitution. We're like, no, the president doesn't have to ask Congress to start wars. And this is when the, you know, although a lot of people think that Barack Obama started listening in on phone calls last year. No, it started with the Patriot Act, where the government could listen in on any form of communication and maybe check with a judge later. And so anyway, that argument is good, that there shouldn't be a knee-jerk reaction. And you know something? Nick makes some other point. This is where me and Nick separate. Nick says that, well, mass shootings are not increasing. So I guess that makes it okay. It's not like there were more mass shootings last year than there were a couple of years ago. We've leveled off. We've leveled off on mass shootings. We get about 20 a year. Mass shooting being 4 or more killed at one time. And you know something? He says murder rate is dropping, which is true. Every study says violent crime is dropping. I tend to agree with I believe it was Malcolm McDowell. I'm not sure whose book I read it in, but that the reason violent crime is dropping, you can trace to abortion laws. There are basically fewer criminals being born. A lot of criminals, let's face it, come from low-income families, single-parent household, mothers has too many kids, can't take care of them, kids go blah, 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 blah. But whatever the reason, murder rate is down. But we're talking about dropping from 12,000 in 08 to 9,500 in 2012. That's still a lot of us killing each other in the United States. But it's okay because the rate is dropping. And let me tell you something. You want to try to apply logic. You want to try to apply common sense to this gun issue. Just remember who you're up against, okay? Just remember the extreme level and the organization level of this. First of all, Colorado had two congressmen who, I think it was a man and a woman, who voted for background checks. And you know what happened to them? Both got recalled. Now, you expect Congress to vote, anyone in Congress to be brave enough to vote for background checks when they saw two of their colleagues recalled for voting for background checks? Let me tell you, nothing scares a congressman more than losing his job for doing nothing, I think. Does that make sense? You do nothing, and they try to do something, better to do nothing. I don't know what. Listen, you vote for background checks, you will get your ass recalled. That's all Congress heard. And the other thing is, and again, remember who you're up against, okay? You're up against the NRA. You're up against a group that supports an Iowa law that allows blind people to carry guns, okay? So keep in mind, that's the extreme you're up against. You're like, well, we can apply logic. Stop it. Stop it. Blind people can carry guns, and you want to take them away from the mentally ill? At least the mentally ill can see who they're shooting. Oh, man, good luck with any of this. The Aaron Alexis, the shooter, we know it now, okay, been arrested twice for discharging guns, shooting out tires, shooting through the roof of an apartment building. Definitely mental issues, called up, you know, I hear voices, blah, 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 blah. Went down to Virginia and bought a gun. And I'm not even sure I'm knocking Virginia on this one, but let's face it, pretty damn easy to buy a gun in Virginia. But the truth, he was never convicted of any of these gun crimes. He was only arrested, and he was never committed for his mental illness. So even if we had that bullshit law that they were going to pass after the Newtown shooting, he still would have been able to buy a gun. And you know something? Same old, business as usual. What's the saying? There's a saying, nothing changes if nothing changes. Well, ain't nothing changed. You want more proof? Okay, I'm just going to go through things that haven't changed, that we're doing again for whatever reason. Down in North Carolina, and again, I know this is going to shock you, but a cop shot an unarmed black man 10 times. I know, you're astounded. It's never happened before. Oh, my God. Yeah, Jonathan Fuller, ex-football player at Florida A&M, not sure why that's relevant, but that's how they identify him, so I'll play along, was in a bad car accident. Okay, now granted, 2:30 in the morning, he bangs on a door looking for help. The woman's scared. She sees this big black guy outside the door, so she slams the door. She calls the cops. The cops come. Now, we don't know what was going through Jonathan's head when he ran toward the cops. I'm thinking maybe he thought they were help. Maybe we don't know what happened here, but there was an officer, Randall Kerrick. He saw a black man running toward him, opened fire, shot him 10 times, killed him. Initially, they said it was a good shooting, but then, you know, press gets involved, so they have to pretend that they care. So now he's got a manslaughter charge, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that he's going to lose his job but not go to jail. That's generally the penalty for shooting an unarmed black kid. But again, same old, same old. Alonzo, they say, you're cynical. America is better than that. We've changed. We're gonna get some things done. Really? We're gonna get some things done? You know what Congress just authorized? A vote to defund Obamacare. That's right. They're still fighting it. Forgive me for laughing, but how many times? How many times? Now here's the logic that they present, the Republicans in Congress, for voting to defund Obamacare. And we've heard this before. They're going to cut, either you cut the money from Obamacare, or they're going to not approve the debt ceiling and shut down the government and blah, 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 right? So, but I love the logic on this one. This is what they're saying, that if individual congressmen did not vote to defund Obamacare, their constituents back home would be mad at them. Damn it, you didn't vote against that Obama? We know that socialist, communist, Muslim son bitch wants to provide health care for poor people and sick people with no money and people who might have a pre-existing condition. Damn it, it's un-American to take care of that, you son bitch, letting queers get married. Vote against him. So that's their constituents, so they have to vote to defund Obamacare. And in the unlikely event that it actually went through, that they shut down the government by stopping the debt ceiling, then they would say to their constituents, well, the government shut down, but I'm only one 435th responsible because he's only one congressman out of all of Congress. And besides, some of their constituents want the government to shut down, which I'm not even going to go into. But that's the logic. So here we go again. Here we go again. We're going to play the game. We're going to hold the government hostage. We're going to play the debt ceiling game and have another vote over nothing. And you know what's really funny about all this? While all this is going on, the deficit's been dropping, or at least growing at a slower rate. Remember, we're speaking government. So growing at a slower rate is the equivalent of dropping. But here's basically the numbers, okay? In August of this year, government revenues were $185 billion, which is up 3.4% from August 2012, where the government made $178 billion. Spending was $333 billion in August of 2013, which is down 9.7% from spending of $369 billion in August 2012. The result, the deficit for August of 2013, $147 billion, down 22% from the deficit of $190 billion in August 2012. On an annual level, because remember, the fiscal year is in September. If none of this makes sense to you, don't worry about it. Business as usual. But anyway, the deficit for the first 11 months of the fiscal year is $755 billion, which is 35% less than the $1.164 trillion for the first 11 months of fiscal 2012. What do all these numbers mean? It means the deficit's dropping. The deficit's growing at a slower rate. Why? Because the economy's growing. People are going back to work, which means more people are paying taxes, which means fewer people are collecting unemployment. There's also more taxes being paid by the upper income group, which they said was going to kill them, but they're somehow getting by. And businesses are making profits, so they're paying taxes again. Now, granted, we did have the sequester. We did have some drastic budget cuts, but the government revenues are increasing. So it doesn't matter. You vote for Obamacare, we going to shut the government down, some bitch. Same old, same old. And here's the thing. You know something? God bless these Republican congressmen because they're somehow getting by and they're struggling. Okay, at Republican Congressman Phil Gingy, I think that's how to pronounce it. He's a Republican from the great state of Georgia, and the man is upset because he said that he got to get by on a lousy $174,000 a year. Meanwhile, ex-congressional aides are making $500,000 a year as lobbyists. Okay, he could be lobbyists. He could be a lobbyist. He could leave Congress and be a lobbyist and make some real money. Instead, he's struggling to get by on $174,000, and he's gotta buy insurance coverage through a healthcare exchange under the Obamacare. He like just like ordinary people. Son of a bitch. What now? Mind you, his constituents, median household income in Georgia, $49,000. So basically, one third of what he makes is the median income. But to hell with how they getting by. He's struggling to get by on his $174,000. I'm telling you, it's just tough. It ain't easy being rich. Ask Ty Warner. Who's Ty Warner? Ty Warner created Beanie Babies. You remember Beanie Babies? You bought some and you bid on some online. You know you did. Everyone did. All of America wanted Beanie Babies and there were exclusive ones. Anyway, Ty Warner is worth over $2 billion. And the man's been charged with tax evasion because he was hiding money in a Swiss bank account. Now, he's good at these Beanie Babies, but I guess he's not too good at math because he hid $3 million. He got caught. He's agreed to pay $53 million in civil penalties. Now, for $53 million, the way I see it, he could have hired 100 of those $500,000-a-year lobbyists and got away with this. Do the math. What the hell's wrong with you? I don't know. I ain't got that kind of money, so maybe I don't know how they roll up there. But the point is, and we teach the kids this every day, crime doesn't pay. That's right, kids. Don't be a criminal. Unless it's in a video game. Because Grand Theft Auto 5 sales topped $800 million on the first day. $800 million on the first day. That's right, kids. Don't steal cars in real life. But if you can design a game where you can steal them on a PlayStation, damn it, get your ass to work. Do you know how much that blows away? Can you imagine if a movie made $800 million in one day? They'd be doing backflips. Titanic took forever to get to $800 million. The whole Star Wars saga, Jurassic Park, all those movies, you know, Fast and the Furious. They'll be Fast and Furious 17 before they make $800 million. And Fast and Furious, they should be stealing cars. They should be Grand Theft Auto on film. I guess they're not going to make a Grand Theft Auto movie because they couldn't handle the cut in pay from Grand Theft Auto video games. So good for them. Good for Rockstar and for the gamers. I've tried it. I'm not a gamer. I played Grand Theft Auto. Let me tell you something. I can't steal a car in real life, and I can't steal one in a video game. But God bless you guys for doing it. All right? Now, I'm you know me. I love cynical stuff, and it's funny and this and that. But I will say, all right, not all bad. You know, America, I still love you, and you know I love you. You know I love you even when I'm mad at you, even when you're crazy, even when you're shooting yourself. I love you. Glenn James of Boston was a homeless guy. I don't know if you heard this story. He turned in a lost backpack that had $42,000 in cash and traveler's checks in it. Yeah, just turned it in, homeless guy. And there's been a fundraising campaign set up online. And so far, it's up to $45,000. The goal is $50,000 to help me. It's a GoFundMe campaign. And if you're not familiar with GoFundMe, it's a website you can create for charitable donations. And the goal is to give him enough money to get a start, you know, get an apartment and clean up. And good for him, and good for all the people who've donated, so good deeds can pay off. Okay, people, that's it for me this week. Like I said, a lot of the same old, same old. This is one of those podcasts people are going to say, Alonzo, you weren't very funny. And I wasn't. I'm just a little perturbed. Little perturbed with the same old, same old. Yeah, we got stupid, crazy stuff going on. All right, you want one? I'll give you my one crazy story for the week that just kind of cracked me up. And the great state of Texas, you know, which is, it rates right up there with Mississippi and Florida when it comes to funny. Texas has had enough of this science stuff, all right? Enough of teaching these kids. Damn it, you can't teach them this science because it'll poison their brain, and the next thing you know, they'll be making the world a better place. So Rick Perry, who we all know is a mental giant, in 2007, he appointed a guy named Don McCleary, a creationist, to head the State School Board of Education, okay? So McLeroy, did I say McCleary? I meant McLeroy, which is much better, says that, you know, it's time to make some changes. And in 2010, the Texas Board of Education approved revisionist history, you know, because you had that war of Northern aggression. That's a civil war to those who went to school, but that's why they got to change this. And in 2011, creationists tried to get supplemental materials inserted in the classes. Couldn't do that, but now they got a new idea, okay? They brought in some experts to check the biology textbooks, and these experts happen to be creationists, and here we go. This is what they say. We understand the National Academy of Sciences' strong support of the theory of evolution, but at the same time, this is a theory. So, the man saying, I firmly believe that creation science based on biblical principles should be incorporated into every biology textbook. Ah, yes, it's only a theory. Granted, this is a theory that the world of modern biology is based on. The First Amendment of the Constitution says you can't teach creation in public schools. This has been to court over and over. But enough of this, because he says the text neglects to tell students that no transitional fossils have been discovered. Well, the truth is, transitional fossils have been discovered. You know, those fossils that show that species have changed over time. But don't be bothered with the truth. Damn it, this is Texas, and we're going to put creation in the textbooks, and you're going to learn it, and then you're going to go to an international education, or you're going to go to some international thing, and they're going to look at you like, what the hell is wrong with you? Can you imagine one of these international science things when you walk in and say, damn it, the earth is only 6,000 years old and men rode dinosaurs? Good luck with that, Texas students. Better be good football players. Finally, people, I'm not going to be here next week, and some people will be glad to hear that. I am going on a cruise, and I plan to be back because I'm not going on a Carnival cruise. But Carnival is nice enough. I don't know if you heard about this. Carnival Cruise has a guarantee now, a guarantee that if after the second or third day of your cruise you are not satisfied, they will refund your money, put you on a plane, and send you home. That's nice, but it seems the thing that people were not satisfied with on Carnival cruises was the fact that they couldn't make it home. The cruise ships were dying at sea. So I don't know if this guarantee, if they're going to provide transportation from the dead ship to the airport to fly you home, but good luck with that. I'm going on a cruise. I love you guys. I won't be recording next week, but I will be back the first week of October. Keep paying attention. Keep your sense of humor. And, I don't know. Go down to Texas and read a book. That'll stir them up. It's Alonzo Bowden signing off. Love you guys. Thanks.
Hey, Sideshow fans, if you like live comedy and love to party, then the Cabo Comedy Festival is the place for you. Check out CaboComedyFestival.com for the details. From October 2nd to 6th, over 50 of the world's funniest comedians are heading to the beaches of Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and they're giving away a trip for two to join all the action. Visit Facebook.com/CaboComedyFestival or CaboComedyFestival.com to enter. Downtown Cabo will come alive with nightly shows featuring over 50 of the world's top stand-ups, followed by exclusive after-parties at the hottest nightclubs, beachfront resorts, pool parties, golf, nightly comedy shows. You don't want to miss the Cabo Comedy Festival. Enter to win or book your travel and purchase tickets at CaboComedyFestival.com.